Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With us is the controversial WIP Zone, Joe Giglio. Hi, Joe.
Morning, Angelo.
Joe, you have not given up on this season, have you?
I have not. I think, like many people, at 4:30 on Sunday, I wanted to. Probably told myself I should, but no, I have not given up on this season quite yet.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you said it there. I think it's important. I think it's important to the future of the franchise that they turn this around, number one. And number two, go into the offseason with something positive to take from what has been a really disappointing season. And number three, get Carson Wentz playoff experience. And so I went back and looked, and I didn't go back with the idea of finding this. I just was trying to figure out, because, you know, if they don't make the playoffs this year, Carson Wentz will go into year five of his career without having played in a playoff game. Obviously, he would have in 17 if he didn't get hurt, but that's the reality. He'll never have gotten playoff experience 4 years into his career. And over the last 30 years, since the NFL went to the playoff format we currently have now, from 1990 to now, basically 30 years of football, only one quarterback, and that was Jeff Hostetler, who was a backup, you know, in 1990. Only one quarterback didn't make the playoffs or play in a playoff game his first 4 years and then went on to win a Super Bowl. For whatever reason, maybe it's coincidence, maybe there's something real to this, early playoff experience kind of predicts who's going to go on and win Lombardi trophies, and I want this guy to get in the playoffs, so at least we get that under his belt.
Very logical, Joe, but I don't see it as the major issue right now. Let me tell you what I think it is. And I got to tell you, Joe, I've been doing this a long time. I don't have to tell you that. And on one hand, I can tell you how many times coaches came out after a game where they were favored and had the better team and everything was going their way and said the other team wanted it more, especially where the other team was dead and buried already. This is what Doug Peterson said yesterday. He tried to talk us out of for the rest of the day. Listen.
They played harder than we did. And that's why I said that I'm disappointed because of that they wanted this one a little bit more than we did, and they made the plays, and we didn't.
Joe, how could that happen? Explain that to me.
Well, it can't, and it shouldn't, but it did. Angela, then, for whatever reason, this team just doesn't seem to care as much as they used to. And I don't say that lightly because I don't think they're giving up. I think they're trying. But there's something about that extra effort gear that I don't see from them a lot. And I feel like when things are going well for the Eagles, you know, they'll show you effort. But when things are going bad or there's tough moments, this season and even early last season, they just tend to not push through it. Like, adversity used to be a thing they fought back from. And I don't see it right now. Miami has nothing to lose. And you could tell they were down. And their leader, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he just plays without a care in the world. And that whole team played with it. It feels like the Eagles don't have that kind of joy / you know, just want to give 110% every play.
No, I think you're right on top of what's going on right now, Joe, but I'm still trying to understand how in 17 they could win a Super Bowl with that attitude and then not have it. Is it because they were the hungry dogs? Are they not hungry now? Is that it?
It might be part of it. I mean, think about the Patriots. I think there's something too. Almost every year, there's a lot of turnover on their roster. They win a Super Bowl. They get rid of a bunch of guys. You know, you count on your hand maybe five guys that have been there for the last, you know, 7-8 years or so. They cycle them in and out, and the Eagles have done the opposite, where they've rewarded a lot of guys that have been here, and some of them deserve it. They're good players, and they're young enough to keep. But I think there's something, too, that you always need to keep that hunger and bring in new people, and I'm not sure the Eagles leaders are as hungry as they used to, because it doesn't feel like it when you watch the game.
No, it doesn't. You're 100% right. Now, what happened in the middle of yesterday, I guess Chris Mortensen started right here with John Barchott on
really
WIP.
Breaking news.
Well, I don't know that it's breaking news, but if Chris Mortensen says it, it means
everybody
something.
Knows there's change.
There is change in the wind, obviously on the roster, Joe, but within the coaches, not Peterson. What do you think here? Who's definitely out at the end of the year?
Well, I think down the stretch, the way the defense plays will be interesting. I thought Jim Schwartz for the middle of this season really kept this thing afloat. And I thought, okay, well, Jim's definitely back next year because he did a great job. But the way they played Sunday, if that's the performance we get down the stretch, I could see a change in defensive coordinator. And the obvious one, Angelo, is Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator. But the only thing I would caution is, I don't know how much it's going to really change. This is Doug Peterson's offense. He calls the plays. Now, another voice like what Frank Reich was for him in his first 2 years certainly could help. It could move things in a better direction. But it's not like if Doug's the play caller and the head coach next year, even if they bring in someone really good at coordinator, like the offense is going to look totally different. It's Doug's scheme. This is Andy's scheme, Doug's scheme, the West Coast scheme. I don't think it'll look that different as long as Doug's calling the play.
All right. Well, there will be change unless they pull a miracle out. Joe would like to see it because he'd like to see Carson get some playoff experience. Let me move you to the Phillies for a minute here, Joe, because you want to talk about anticlimactic endings to a career in Philadelphia. It happened yesterday with Cesar Hernandez, who is a very good player here for most of his tenure. Should they have gotten something for him, Joe? Should they have traded him a year or two ago where they could have gotten some pretty good for him?
Yes, Angelo, it's amazing. When you kind of think back, because we have a decent sample size now of Matt Klentak's tenure as GM, he is the master of buying high and selling low. It is amazing. A couple years ago, Cesar Hernandez was probably one of the, I would say, a top 15, maybe a top 10-ish kind of second baseman in baseball, and he was cheap.
Yep.
And the Phillies clearly 2 years ago were still 2 years or 3 years away from being really good or want to be really good. They could have traded him then and got something real. And now, you know, he's not worth the $11 million considering what other second basemen make. I understand why they let him go yesterday, but it's just like, how do you turn that player into nothing after the years you have him here? And I go to other examples. I mean, signing Carlos Santana, trading him off his worst year, it just feels like when they buy someone, he's at his highest rate. When they sell him, he's at his lowest.
All right, right now, Joe, I need you to tell me who the starting infield is opening day.
Rhys Hoskins.
First base.
Gene Segura.
Ooh, what position?
Second.
Gene Segura is playing second base.
Okay,
wow.
The shortstop is Didi Gregorius, and the third baseman is Scott Kingery.
Oh.
All right, so wait a minute. So they're going to put Segura at second and Kingery at third, even though Kingery is a better second baseman?
Yeah, I think they've come to the idea, and I agree with them on this one, that Segura's days at shortstop are coming to an end pretty quick. I thought he was pretty slow and didn't move well last year there, so I think they want to move him off short. Angelo, the only question is who plays short? And if they get a shortstop like Didi Gregorius played for Joe Girardi in New York, that's an easy fit. If they don't, Angelo, I could see Scott Kingery playing shortstop. I don't think they believe that Segura can play shortstop anymore. It feels like there's a big shuffle coming in that infield over the next couple months.
Do you worry at all that Segura might adopt a negative attitude toward that?
Yes. Well, when it comes to Gene Segura, I'm just waiting for the next pouting session. I didn't enjoy watching him last year, and at least he can't make as much trouble at second base, I guess, because he can't lose as many balls in the infield.
Joe Giglio. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it, pal. Joe Giglio with some insights on two sports out there. The Hernandez thing. I'm looking at his numbers. I'm going, my God, 294. Al, do you know in 2016 he led the league with 11 triples? Fast.
His head's value.
Quality, solid defensive second baseman. 294, 371 on base percentage. We hung on to him until his value was low and then let him go.
All right, we're going to do the same thing with Segura.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe.
I got to tell you, right?
You're starting to wonder about Klentak right now, aren't you, Al?
I'm wondering.
I'm not wondering. I mean, it's been terrible. Once he lost the manager thing.
Yeah. Billy is a GM. Maybe we should go to him.
Last year at this time, you know, Klentak said, I've never been that keen on trading Cesar. We've been asked about him a lot last couple of years. But I really like Cesar. I like the element that he brings to our team as a high on base, high walk second baseman.
And I plan to completely give him away at the end of next season.
I mean, that's
a great quote, Billy. Billy's doing some great research. So he is acknowledging he has been asked about it and has completely turned and has turned down the offers so that yesterday he could cut him free and say, go now, get whatever deal you want. You're a free agent.
Our best lineup right now is with Franco playing and third and Kingery moving around.
Apparently that's changed in a year. I'll tell you that much. Al gave them both away. Be interested to see where they land. You know, I'm not going to say Franco's got a lot of value. Hernandez still does.
Yeah.
He's a nice little player.
I don't care where they land. I care where Kingery lands.
Yeah.
So what do you do? You put him at second where he belongs, right?
I don't understand. Is he third? Is he short? I mean,
to Segura?
All right, I
want to just make a statement on Segura. I can't stand him.
He's got a full no trade, I believe.
I cannot stand Gene Segura. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All morning. Craig is on the line from D.C. Hi, Craig.
Radio man. What's happening, brother?
Here's the story, Craig. The Eagles did not win Sunday because the Dolphins wanted to win more.
Oh, my God. Angelo, let me just start with this, Hans. First of all, you know, I'm from Philly, but I live down here in D.C., you know, and first of all, I got to deal with these idiotic Redskins fans that are literally running around here thinking they're going to win the doggone division now because they won two games in a row. So I have to deal with that every day. But then the second part is, Edge, I just can't understand. I listened to WRP on all shows yesterday and all the time I listen to every show. These guys, they just don't have it anymore, Edge. I mean, the Super Bowl binky needs to be popped out. The Eagles goggle green goggles need to be taken off. This team is bad, Edge. And I'm telling you right now, Edge, Doug has one more year in my sights before. You've got to cut off the head of the snake. If Doug doesn't get this thing together between Schwartz, Doug, Howie, Jeffrey Lurie is going to have to make a massive decision.
No, that's I'm with you. Craig, I said this yesterday. Peterson's got one more year to turn this back around because what's going on right now is coaching. You understand? When coach himself is saying they're not playing as hard as the other team, that's motivation. That's coaching. You're getting the trick play stuff that happened Sunday. How do you not call a timeout? The explanation he gave yesterday was ridiculous. Absurd.
I had tears in my eyes, Angelo. I was so mad that we lost to Miami because of that. And not just the lack of time management that he displays. He just looks dumbfounded on the field at times. Yep. I mean, we are just all over the place, Ange. We are not making the playoffs this year. I mean, who the hell thinks we can go on a run and win four in a row when we can't even win two in a row without falling over ourselves and throwing up all over ourselves like we did the other day?
Craig, I'm trying to make a positive out of this. So you said something earlier in your call that I need to pursue further with Al Morganti.
Mm-hmm.
You said that in Washington, They do believe they have a chance to still win the division. Is that what you're telling me?
They've laid it out, Angelo. If they win out, because if you notice, they're running with a two-headed running back monster down here now.
I understand.
And if they win out, we lose out, whatever. You know how the scenario works. They can win the division at 7-9.
All right, hold on. I got to go to Alan. No, you don't understand. There's a very great money situation right here. Didn't you tell me yesterday, Al, that I could place a $100 bet on the Redskins winning the division? And if they do, I win $750,000?
Yeah.
Ha-ha! Craig!
Money. That might be smart money.
Craig.
That would not be.
Craig, for $100, yeah. I could have 750 large.
I'm in.
You might want to lay it.
Seven and nine now.
No.
Lay it down.
Craig.
It might work.
Craig, let's see if we can get you up here for Monday Night Football. Give me a dying brand like Monday Night Football.
Oh, man, Ange, I was a kid in the 70s and the mid-80s, and, it was just the greatest game ever when it first came out. But the one and only Atari. I know Billy King remembers that.
Atari was a big deal.
That was
You're
the
right.
game. You're awesome. Right. You're
Atari
right, Craig.
Atari was it. All right, now let me just play this for you because this is another ridiculous thing. That Al, Doug's not having a good year.
No, he's honest.
So they come out in this ridiculous set with like three players in the middle and then all the other guys in the corner. Trick play coming. And the Eagles claiming they knew there would be trick plays but had no idea what was going on.
Screaming timeout
yes.
at home?
Yes. Of course you do. Because you know what? Oftentimes, using the timeout will talk them out of the play.
Yeah, exactly.
Now they'll kick the field goal and we're still doing okay. After yesterday, upon further reflection, here's what Doug said about not using timeout.
Even if you call a timeout right there, okay, they could still break the formation and line up exactly the same way. We don't know what they were going to run, right, because they didn't show. You know, it kind of goes either way that way.
Billy? Billy, Al, Billy looks confused.
You call a timeout and you talk to him. All right, make sure
about what you should do.
You know,
make sure you cover this guy.
You got him if he goes, man to man. Yeah.
Apparently, Josh Sweat was the guy that was supposed to cover the place kicker.
Oh.
The punter threw the touchdown pass to the place kicker. And apparently, the way it was set up, a defensive end was supposed to run with the place kicker.
Who's going to do that?
I don't know.
4 yards. Josh
Sweat. It's not that far.
To me, if Josh Sweat was going out on a pass pattern, it would be the first time in his life.
It was 4 yards.
Why didn't we use maybe one of us guys in the defensive secondary who do that all the time? Josh Sweat had to cover the place kicker running for a pass?
Well, you have a team you put out there.
He's a kicker. It's 4 yards.
Yeah. I would definitely call a timeout.
Well, just because it looks
terrible decision. Yeah.
And just to make sure everybody knows their responsibility.
Yeah, once you've calmed down a bit and said, it's not that. Because it's shocking to see it's just shocking to see the alignment.
Yeah. At 8 o'clock, Merrill Reese is coming out to talk about how brutal that game was and to talk about what happens when you're a broadcaster and a trick play unfolds. Because that requires a challenge for the guy calling the play, too, Al. And we'll have Merrill take us through that,
too. How about being an official?
That's another. Is that even legal?
Well, that's if I'm an official,
and
that's
all right. Yeah.
They're looking to say, is it lineman right?
I guess that must be legal. 888-729-9494, #9494, your AT&T or Verizon cell phone. We come back. Let's talk a little Sixers. We're going to talk about something we never talk about. But he usually wins or loses games, and it's what Billy King knows more about than anything. WIP Sports Time 7:17.
Is your home ready?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.